1244, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And it's Emily Miller time, ladies and gentlemen. Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages and author of the book, Emily Gets Her Gun. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I saw your column this morning. Shock verdict. Mark Wittichek guilty of possessing muzzle loader bullets in D.C. And, you know, for some reason, it conjured up the image in my mind of you spitting nails as you were writing this.
No, as I was sitting in the courtroom, I thought I was going to jump over the divider and into the prosecutors. I mean, it was such a shock what the judge did, and it's just an absolute travesty of justice.
All right, so he is guilty of what? Attempted possession of unlawful...
Yeah. Well, the way the court system works is you can't charge with possession, and then prosecutors can knock the charge down to call it attempted, because for various reasons they do that usually to get a plea deal. In this case, they did it because Mr. Wittichek wanted a jury trial, and the prosecutors wanted a judge trial, so they knocked it to attempted so that he could not get a jury trial. But what's so shocking about this verdict yesterday is, for obvious reasons, it's shocking in America that somebody could get a criminal record now, convicted of a crime, for possessing ammunition but not a gun. And what really threw everything off yesterday was this trial's been going on. Pre-trial hearings started in November. This trial started in February. And yesterday, the defense presented his case, and Mr. Wittichek testified, and most of the day was debate over the one shotgun shell they got from his house was operable. The judge knew absolutely nothing about firearms or ammunition, and neither did the prosecutors. So they were doing bizarre things, that the judge was shaking the shotgun shell to see if he could hear the gunpowder to decide if it was operable. Meanwhile, this is a misfired shell, which Mr. Wittichek explained on the stand that he had been at a hunt and the shell had misfired. So, of course, there's still going to be gunpowder in it. The operability is obviously about the primer. But you've got this judge doing it, and then the judge says, well, I want to break the shell open and see what is in it. Well, of course, it's irrelevant because you can't see primer. That's the issue. The judge doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, then the prosecutors, the government, confer, and they announce to the court that it's dangerous to break open the shell anywhere except for a laboratory.
Oh, please. I've done it a million times. You take a razor knife, you cut the top of it, you dump the shot out of it, you pull the wad out of it, and you dump the powder out of it. I mean, come on.
And nothing can happen, no matter what you do to it, unless you light a match.
Exactly.
So you can see these people. So they're going on and on and on about this. The court. We have a long break in the court while they go find a laboratory. It turns out the laboratory can't be opened yesterday, and the judge wanted to run the trial. So then he said, well, I'm just going to rule on the muzzle loaders. Now, this has been a side issue in the case because even the government wasn't focused on it, because muzzle loader guns in D.C., they're antique replicas. They don't use rimfire ammunition, and so they don't have to be registered. And so nobody was really focusing on this because they're antique replicas, and then a muzzleloader bullet, to be precise, is just a piece of metal. In this case, they're manufactured by a company called Knight. Some are made out of lead and some are made out of copper. They're just small, conical-shaped pieces of metal. There's no gunpowder. There's no primer. That gets shoved into the gun if you want to shoot one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the end, while they can't find the lab to open the shotgun shell, the judge suddenly decides, and this is also after much discussion over whether a muzzleloader gun could be converted into semi-automatic,
possible,
which no one has accused Mr. Wittichek of doing this, he just suddenly says, well, I find you guilty of possession of ammunition for these muzzleloader bullets. And then the judge, not even knowing what they are, he says in court, and I put this in my story because it was so shocking to me, he said, you know, we've had four lawyers spend all afternoon trying to decide what is a muzzleloader gun, because they couldn't ask the defendant, Mr. Wittichek, because this all happened after the defense presented its case, so the case was then closed. This is all in the deciding factor. In this deciding part of his trial, the judge says, well, we couldn't figure it out, but this is the judge speaking, this looks like a bullet to me, it looks like a hollow point bullet, and so if it looks like one, then it probably is one.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing is this? I mean, really, this guy, what's his name, Judge Moron? Well, actually,
it's pronounced Morin, but oh. he is a moron.
No, he's a moron. I had it right the first time. Judge Moron. He finds this poor guy guilty, sentences him to time served, makes him enroll in the Metropolitan Police Department's Firearm Offenders Registry within 48 hours. And, of course, now this poor guy's got a criminal record. You know,
and he was pleading in the sentencing, pleading to the judge, saying, look what this has done to my life. I'm having trouble keeping, you know, having my job. I'm afraid they're going to take away my license to practice. You know, please don't do anything more to me after what's been done to me. His wife was crying. I was hugging her. I mean, it was devastating. These are two American people who have lived honest lives, gone about their business, and look what the city has done to them.
It is just, it's such an embarrassment. I mean, you got a city where people are getting killed on the street every night by a bunch of thugs,
and
they're the ones that should be in the courtroom, and instead you got a law-abiding citizen in there being tormented by an idiot judge. It's
and not
amazing.
There are two prosecutors on this case the entire time. Every single day of this trial, there are two prosecutors.
God.
They had another lawyer there and two police sergeants in the courtroom the whole time. This is what our resources, this is what our taxpayers are going for.
Unbelievable. All right, one other thing before I let you run. Michelle Obama in China. What an embarrassment in so many ways. Here she is. She's talking about freedom of speech, but not the press on this vacation.
No, and you know, Mrs. Obama comes back today from her week-long trip that you and I paid for, Andy,
yeah,
with her 80, daughters and 80, her mother.
8,400.
She gets toward China, which the White House claims was not political, even though she met with the president, went to every single government. And then here's what was so outrageous about what happened. She refused to bring reporters on the plane with her. This is a 757 government plane, and refused to do any interviews. The only thing they would do was put out tweets and put out videos that the White House made. I mean, this is government-run media. And of all places, they're doing this in China, which has no government free media, free press there. And then the First Lady, Michelle Obama, while in China, has the gall to lecture them about the benefits of free media and how important it is for our society.
I know. It truly is amazing, and not to mention they spend $8,400 a night on a hotel room, and
we.
Yes, excuse me. Yes, exactly right. Pardon me. We spend $8,400 a night on a hotel room, and the poor people working there evidently had to endure, harassment from her mother. Of all people.
I know. They're not the most polite people either. They don't really represent us well, do they?
No, I don't think so. All right, Emily, good to talk to you as always. We'll
Thanks,
do it again
Andy.
Next week. See ya. There she goes. Emily Miller, Washington Times senior editor of the opinion pages and author of the book Emily Gets Her Gun. 1252, 1260 WRC. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.